Amen. Amen. I appreciate this family singing for us. I appreciate the preaching there. You say, what do you call that? I call that strong testifying right there. I do some of that during camp meeting. I like it myself. What a blessing. It's come time for our first message tonight. I'm going to ask Dr. Mike Bagwell to come around. He has blessed our hearts preaching from the parables. And my, how he preached a message last night about that unprofitable servant. We don't deserve a thanks from our master. It is our duty to serve him. Hallelujah. That'll change your Christian life right there. Preach to us, brother. Amen.
Matthew chapter 20 tonight, if you will turn in the Word of God. And while you're turning, many of you have done so, if you'll read Matthew 13 twice. We're going to Matthew 20 for our text, but if you'll read Matthew 13 twice, it's the parable laden, the most parable-enriched chapter in the Word. There's a little gift Debbie and I'd love to give you. I put it together. It's got 21 of Jesus' parables. He spoke many more than that, 45, 46 or so. But these 21, and it's out of this group, I have chosen every text that I've used, including tonight's. We just thought that might be a way of encouraging you to better familiarize yourself with that part, the parable, that genre of the Word of God. Matthew chapter number 20, obviously, is going to be another parable. May I read to you from the Word of God? For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder. And that householder, I'll go ahead and tell you, he's a picture of our Lord. Man who's a householder, and he went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. Now watch. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny, that sounds precious little to us, but the word, denarii, is a word that means a day's wages. He has agreed to pay them a day's wages. And he sent them out into the vineyard. Verse 3 says he went out again. This time it's about the third hour. And he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also. Going to hire some more, isn't he? Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Now there are two work crews in the master's vineyard. Verse 5 adds a little detail, and Matthew's very quick in what he tells us. He went out about the sixth hour, same master, the same householder. And he went out again at the ninth hour and did likewise. He sent two more work groups into his vineyard. They worked 12 hours a day in this ancient time. Verse 6, look at it. And about the 11th hour, they started 6 a.m., sun up. They work till 6 p.m., sundown. He's hired at 6 a.m. Those boys will work 12 long hours. He hired again at 9 a.m., again at noon, again at 3 p.m., and he's not through yet employing men to labor in his vineyard. That's why it says when he went out, verse 6, at the 11th hour, he found others standing idle. And he said unto them, why stand ye here idle? Why stand ye all the day idle? And they said, because no man hath hired us. And he said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when evening was come, the work day is over, When evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said to his steward, said to his paymaster, call the laborers. Everybody's gathering around. Preacher, these are day laborers. They get paid at the end of every day. He said, call the laborers. I'm in verse 8. And give them their hire. Give them their salary. Give them their reward. But look at the next words. Beginning from the last. Beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, those hired last, they received every man, and I'm going to need you to help me here, they received every man a what? Every man a penny. Those who worked 1 hour received a full day's wages. And let's see, verse 10. Verse 9, when they came, they were hired about the 11th, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, those that had been working all day, those that were hired at 6 a.m., they supposed they should have received, tell me the word please, more. They thought they'd get more, but they likewise received every man a penny. I want to stop right there. Got to keep, take up at verse 10. Y'all see what's going on? This man's got a grape harvest. It must be urgent. And he goes out at sun up and gets a bunch of laborers and they go to work. And he agrees with them for a penny, for a full day's wages. Goes back again at 9. He says he don't have enough workers to get the crop in. Goes back at 9, hires some more. Goes back at noon and gets him another group. Back again at 3, and can you believe it? At 5, he's still thrusting laborers into his harvest. Soon it'll be time to settle up. And it is. It's 6 o'clock. The sun's going down, going to pay everybody. And see if I've got it right. I read it, trying to get it in my mind. Those that were hired at the 11th hour, that means they worked for 60 minutes. They got a full day's wages. Those that were hired at 3 p.m. and worked but 3 hours, they got a denarii. They got a penny, a full day's wages. Those that went to work at noon got the same. Those that went at 9 a.m. got the same. And those that worked all day long and agreed with him for a penny, they were also paid a penny, a day's labor. Now, I need a little help here. Are y'all with me as the story unfolds? Verse 10. Got to read verse 10. But when the first came, those that had been laboring 12 hours since 6 a.m., when the first came, they supposed they should have received more, and they received every man a penny, and when they received it, I want you to tell me what they did. When they received it, they what? Tell me more loudly. Murmured. They grumbled. They complained against the goodman of the house, saying, look at their rationale, saying, these that have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us, they got equal pay, which have, and we have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Y'all still with me? One more, verse 13, he answered one of them and said, friend, they're grumbling about him, but he still calls them friend. I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for one penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I'll give to the last even as unto thee. Watch this verse. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will? Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil? Are you resentful? Are you envious? Are you jealous? Because I am good. It is called the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. It is God's inspired word. I'm going out on a limb. Probably something in here we could learn tonight to make us better servants of our Lord. But what is it? I feel like I'm standing in water way too deep for me. I read a minute ago, I mean, this man's a Bible scholar. He says this to me is a puzzling parable. There probably is many different interpretations of this parable as any in the entire New Testament. What in the world are we going to do? Point one. No, not point one. First thing I want to mention is this. I know who the Lord of the harvest is. I know who the vineyard owner is. He is no doubt going to get a little help. He's a picture of the Lord God Almighty. He's a picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know that much. And then I'm pretty sure I know who the laborers are. They're not that crowd of atheists down the road yonder somewhere. They're people who know him, who love him, who follow him. I'll tell you who the laborers are. Get me in there. We are the laborers tonight. Oh, I need to point out something that happened right before Jesus gave this parable, and something that happened right after he gave this parable, right before. It'll set the context for our little parable story tonight. There's a fella, we call him the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus and he wants to know what he must do to inherit eternal life. I want to make an announcement. You don't inherit eternal life, it is given to you. Hallelujah. He's got the wrong idea. And Jesus gave him a list of commandments. Jesus said, I tell you what you need to do. He said he'd done everything right. Go sell everything you got and give to the poor, and great will be your reward in heaven. Amen. Peter picked up on that. He said, Lord, that boy, if he sells everything he's got a great reward. What about us? What about us disciples? We have given up all to follow thee. What are we going to get? What's in it for us? What's our reward? That's the story that immediately precedes this parable. And then look what happens right after it. It's on over in the 21st chapter. There's a lady comes to Jesus. She's the mama of James and John. And she says, Lord, I've got, in fact, the Lord said, what you need? What's something on her mind? And said, I've got a little request. I want it so that my sons can sit on your right hand, one of them, and the other on your left hand in the kingdom. I want my boys to be rewarded smartly. They've given up their fishing business. They've sold out everything to follow you. Surely you're going to reward them real good. Right hand, left hand wouldn't be a bad idea if I could get it for them. What's in it for me? What's in it for my boys? And then the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Are y'all with me? Amen. So there's something in this parable that's going to teach us a little bit about God's manner of blessing, about God's system of rewards, if I could sort of word it and put it that way. Now, I'm going to run out of time if I'm not real careful, so I'm going to talk about that first round of boys, that the Lord of the harvest, he went out to, oh. This is a grapevine story. Are y'all with me? There's a vineyard involved in our text. Now watch. studied a little bit about John 15. It's been 3-4 years ago. Probably preached some of it around Taylorsville. If you don't know the church, don't know that, but it probably. I'm going to show you something about a grapevine. By the way, I know who the true vine is tonight. I'm just tickled to be one of the branches. Hallelujah. Y'all know the true vine, don't you? Watch a grapevine. It grows up out of the ground. It's usually gnarled and twisted. As it grows up, it looks something like that. Grapevine. And then there are branches that come off. He's the vine. Get me an amen. I can't cut my ear. He's the vine, and we're the branches. Those little branches grow out from him, and they're going to bear fruit, much fruit, more to the glory of an almighty. I want y'all to look at what a grapevine fashions. Look what a grapevine resembles. Look what a grapevine symbolizes. If I'm standing here, it's a picture of my Savior dying on an old rugged cross, shedding his blood that I can be washed therein, born again, and go to heaven when I die. Hallelujah. I want to find out about this vineyard. I want to find out about being a worker out there for the glory of God. I like working around the foot of Calvary. Hallelujah. And then did you ever think about this? And I'm on a tangent. I've got to get back. Ever think about what a grapevine does? I'm going to tell you real quick. A grapevine brings nutrients and moisture up the root system out of the earth and make something out of it. The grapevine takes water and turns water. Amen. We'd say grapes, grape juice, but I'm telling you what, I'll need an amen, turns water into wine. Amen. Do you ever think about that? What do you mean? Yep, a grapevine turns water into wine. Takes it 6 months to do it. What if I told you I know somebody who could turn water into wine in an instant? And he's the true vine. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb tonight. And while I'm on the subject, getting right back to my parable, I read something the other day. University of Georgia, their extension, agriculture, said those grapes. You ever notice when you buy a group of grapes, no matter what store, you can bite into one little grape, might be a little sweeter than another. I mean, it's in the same street ground. Pastor, they said this: the sweetest grapes, hope I get an amen, grow closest to the vine. Are y'all hearing me tonight? The sweetest grapes grow the closest to the vine. Don't know about you. I've heard of sour grapes. Y'all ever heard of that? Must be way down the line somewhere. I want to be close to him. I want to snuggle up to him. I want to be sweet to his taste tonight. I want to be a laborer in that vineyard. Well, in our parable, first fellas he hires, they're the last to be paid, but they're the first to be hired. They're going to work a 12-hour shift. But preacher, it says something about this group that it says about no other group. This group, it says he agreed with them for a penny. That word agreed, let me give you a synonym for that word agreed. They had to strike a contract.
Amen.
They had to get something down in writing. They had to be sure God done them right. And so there is a legal document in all likelihood drawn up. They agreed for a penny. Now, it's not going to be long. The work day's going to be over. He's going to be paying these boys off. And could I make an announcement? You read the parable. Those boys that worked 12 hours and agreed for a penny, will they get an amen? They got what they agreed to.
Amen.
I just want to say this. God's never let anybody down yet. God's never going to let anybody down. He's a faithful Almighty. But here's the thing. Them boys that work 9 hours, them boys that work 6 hours and 3 hours, and I'll declare the crowd that didn't work but 1 hour. What'd they get? They didn't have to have a contract. They didn't agree with it. He just said, whatever's right, I'll give you. You trust me, you go work for me, forget a contract, let's just shake hands on it, and if you love me that much, I'll cut you loose, and I'll promise you, make me a place, preacher. I'll promise you, if you'll do that, I'll treat you right, I'll be good to you, I'll reward you in a way that'll bring honor and glory to my name and be consistent to my person. I'll tell you, I done made up my mind, I ain't looking for no contract with my Lord tonight.
Amen.
I've heard us preacher. Now, Lord, I want 2 souls to be saved next month. And, Lord, we need $15,332.18. And, Lord, we'd like to have that by the end of next quarter. And then, Lord, if you don't mind, my suit's getting a little worn, and I'd like to have a new suit. Don't care where it's from, just a new suit. Might be better off to remind him you're his property, to remind him you're working in his vineyard, to forget about striking a deal, to forget about demanding an agreement, and just let him reward you what he thinks is right. Hallelujah. What he thinks is best. Anybody think you can trust him to be good to you tonight? Hallelujah to his name. But, and I may not get off these early all-day workers. I appreciate them. I mean, if that's a picture of faithfulness, 12 hours nonstop in a blistering sunlight. But when they got paid, oh, you read it. Did you pick up on the fact he paid the fellows that worked 1 hour, paid them first? Those that worked 3 hours, 6 hours, and 9 hours. And this is what happened. They watched that 1 hour crowd. Look at here. They got a penny. They got a whole day's wages. And I can hear them now. Well, buddy, if he paid them a penny and they just worked 60 minutes and I've been out there 12 long grueling hours, I am in for a landfall. Boy, he's going to pour it out on me. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Remember, they grumble. You made them equal to me. Equal to me. I want to make an announcement. If you're saved, you ain't no better than any other saved person on planet Earth. God help us with that Pharisaical attitude. I'm better than you are. Isaiah called it a holier than that. My shoes come loose and I can't get it on. I'm just going to shed it, honey. It's right over there. I want to say something tonight. You're no better than me. I'm no better than you. I'm glad the ground at the cross of Calvary is level. Hallelujah. I promise you this, if the Lord had reversed the order of payment, if he'd paid them first and let them go on home, they'd have never grumbled. They'd have been determining. I got to get rid of the other shoe too. This up and down's not working. They'd have been determining how they're going to spend their money. They'd have been deciding how to budget it out. They'd have never said a word. But, get this, but they watched the Lord's blessings on some other men. They watched the Lord blessing a man that didn't work but a little bit. And then they watched him bless another man who worked very little bit more. And it was more than they could stand. Hey, can I make an announcement? We preachers would be better off not to look around, not to judge ourselves, our success, by what God's doing in some other preacher's life. Be thankful what he's doing for you. We don't deserve the first blessing anyway. I watched and listened and thrilled as Brother Joe Arthur preached around here Monday night, and God so blessed that anointed message. Brother Mark Stroud last night standing so eloquently at following the leadership of the Holy Ghost, illustrating for us the goodness of God. I'm going to tell you what. I admire their gifts. I admire their talents. I admire the way the Holy Ghost of God has got his hand on them. And then here comes a little old ignoramus, a country hick from Malden, South Carolina. I'm telling you what, I couldn't hold a candle to him in a million years. But I made up my mind, if God wants to double bless Joe Arthur, hallelujah to his name. If God wants to give Brother Mark a million places to preach it, I'll say hallelujah all the way. And I'll take whatever he gives me, and I'll be happy. I'll be thrilled. I'll be glorified. Bless his name. And may I mention one more thing? This is, again, I'm just jumping rabbits. It may be a little off the subject. I don't believe Paul's churches, we call them the Pauline churches. Paul's churches were not large. They were not numerically huge. Paul pastored what we call house churches. Paul's congregation at Corinth, at Thessalonica, at Colossae, about as many people as you can get in a living room. About as many people, maybe a little open courtyard. The estimates I've read, 30, 40, 50 people. On the top end, 60, 70 people. I want you to listen to me tonight. God ain't got no little churches. God ain't got no little places. I'm slaughtering grammar tonight. God Almighty, if you got 30 people, if you got 50 people, walk in that pulpit Sunday like you're the Apostle Paul. Open the same book he opened and give them the Word of God. Hallelujah to his name. If they hadn't watched God's blessings on the other boys, they wouldn't have grumbled and they wouldn't have complained like they did. But we still got a little bit of a problem. Not problem. Still got a little bit of an interpretive issue in our text. What about them boys that only worked an hour or three? I mean, how you going to? You can't run a bit. General Motors don't do this. They don't hire everybody at the same wage and pay. No, you can't run the company. But God can run his kingdom this way, people. I don't know, I may be way off base here. It wouldn't surprise me, a man or woman that gets saved at 75 years old, they hadn't got long to serve God. They don't have many hours in the vineyard. It wouldn't surprise me when it's all said and done. It wouldn't surprise me when we get over yonder, they'll walk on the same streets of gold we walk on. It wouldn't surprise me a bit. It would not amaze me. They'll worship at the same throne where I worship. They'll love and hug the same Jesus that I love. And hallelujah for his goodness. Financially, it won't work. Psychologically, it's just not practical. But it is a wonderful illustration. If you'll say amen here, it is a wonderful illustration of the amazing grace of God. Amen. I didn't deserve nothing. I'm a sinner. I saved by grace, by rights, ought to be in a devil's hell tonight. And it doesn't matter how long I've been saved. It doesn't matter how my works are, might accumulate, however you want to verbalize that. I thank God his grace is poured out on me. His grace inundates me. I'm a recipient. The old preachers remember when they used to say, I'm standing under the spout where the glory comes out. Hallelujah. I feel that tonight. I'm enjoying his grace. I want to say something to y'all, and I love every one of you. I'm just as saved as you are this evening.
I'm just as much bound for heaven as you are. Hallelujah to the good name of an almighty God. Just come up. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Don't you worry about it.
You say, preacher, what else is in this parable? And that's the beauty of these parables. The deeper you dig, the more lovely things begin to come to the surface. Let me summarize and I'll quit. You thank God for what He's doing for you. And you forget worrying about what He's doing for somebody else. Yeah, but preacher, that other fellow don't work as hard as I do. Time out. I don't know how hard the 12-hour workers went at it. Some of them 3-hour boys might have got as much done. Some of them 12 hours. When it comes to rewards, got to say this, will I get an amen? We don't know all the facts yet. Need a better amen. We don't know all the facts yet. We'd be best to leave it in the hands of the owner of the vineyard, of the Lord of the harvest, and let Him bless us as He sees fit to bless us. I got one more thought I want to try to give. I heard up here and I heard it down here. Murmur, murmur, murmur. 12-hour shift murmured against the landowner, murmured against the owner of the vineyard, because they, though they got what they asked for, I'll get in trouble for this, but I like the Jabez prayer. I know it can be abused, but I like it. Listen to it. Lord, hope I get an amen. Bless me indeed. Amen. All right, y'all aren't getting it. Now, Lord, I prepared a blessings list. I would like for you to hit at least 7 of my 10, if you don't mind. Bless me. That's not what Jabez prayed. He said, God, I don't even know what I need. God, I probably don't even know what a blessing looks like. I think I'll let you decide. I think I'll put it in your hands. Bless me indeed. And then God enlarged my coast. Now, Lord, I figured that out. I need 500 more square miles over here on the east and about 300. He did not specify. He did not tell God what to do. He said, enlarge my coast. Lord, I don't even know where it starts and ends. Lord, I don't know. Lord, you know better than I do. You know what I need. God, would you handle that in my life? Let your hand be on me for good. Grieve me not. May I not suffer pain because of sin and because of iniquity. Back to my thought before this thought. Murmur, murmur. They're grumbling. Somebody else got equal pay, and they didn't work nearly as hard. Let me tell you what they could have done. Instead of grumbling about what the Lord gave the short hour workers, they could have said, well, we got what we bargained for. Hadn't done nothing wrong. And plus this, I got to spend the day in the vineyard that my master owns. I got to put my hands on the grapevines. In fact, and he don't mind neither, I took me a bite or two through the day. I got me some of them real close to the vine. Got me some of the sweetest ones. And they could have said, because I worked 12 hours, when my master come by, I got to see him eyeball to eyeball. I got up real close to him. Instead of grumbling, instead of talking about all the things that could have gone wrong, they could have counted their blessings. I want to say something tonight. There are blessings for being faithful, staying in the field all day long. I want to be that early hired group without the complaining, without the grumbling, and without the murmuring.
Amen.
The parable of the laborers in the vineyard. That barely scratches the surface. But oh, how that preaches to me in my heart. Debbie and I We hadn't been married 6 months. Driving down the mountain from a little church in Bakersfield, North Carolina. Not a long way from here. Over toward Spruce Pine. And she said in her quiet little voice, usually quiet little voice, she said, "Honey, I believe God might have given you a ministry to the small churches of our land." And she was thinking, very small churches of our land. You think I'm thrilled tonight? I have preached to people. The whole congregation's less than the choir that's fixing to come. I have preached in churches where if you filled up that wing over there, it'd be way more than came on a Monday night or on a Tuesday night. Used to bother me a little bit. I thought, "Lord, now I've done been preaching. I told Brother Mark 53 years, it's 55. I forgot I had a birthday. I must have had two." This parable has spoken to my heart, and I have made up my mind. If I preach all my ministry to 30 folks in the mountains, or 40 folks down toward the seacoast, or a little handful of God's youngins here or there, I'm going to hold my head high. I'm going to be thankful He put me in the vineyard. I'm going to glorify His good name. And if He keeps me, if He puts me on the backside of some remote place, I'll say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'll try to keep my mouth shut and do no grumbling, because the one who put me in the vineyard, a good amen and I'm through, He will do right. He will do right. Thank God, He will do right. Hallelujah. To His name.
Give that to Brother Jamie there.